The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. As history moves towards God's fulfillment, there will be frightening signs and events. Before the end, believers will draw strength from their relationship to God and shall be given the words they need to testify and to endure without fear. I begin reading at verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. People always seem to be fascinated with end times, with the apocalypse, with a time when Christ will come again, when this earth as we know it will be no more, and it will be the end of time as we know it here on this earth. People seem to be fascinated with that. And particularly at certain times, there seems to be certain times or events that happen along the way that really kick up this kind of interest. If you remember, at the end of the 1990s, it was one such time because the calendar was just about ready to turn over to the year 2000. And if you remember some of the things that were happening at that time, there was a big scare going on that the computers were not going to be able to handle that date and that everything was going to come crashing down, that water systems would go out, that power grid would go offline, that air traffic controllers would not be able to control the traffic and there would be plane crashes everywhere. That the government would be shut down. That stock markets would crash around the world and there would be great chaos everywhere. Well, there may have been some truth to that. But that was a man-made problem with the computers. And it also had a man-made fix. And for the most part, everything was fixed. And as far as I know, everything kept on running. There might have been a few glitches here and there, but everything kept right on moving. The date came, and it went, and no big catastrophe happened. Now, about during that time, though, too, some of the groups, some of the religious or quasi-religious groups were going on that this is the end of the world, that the world is going to stop, or as we know it, it's going to change completely. But as you know, the date came and went, and it still remained basically the same. There were even some that were having kind of fun with it. I know if you remember some of the commercials at that time. The M&M candies commercials were kind of having fun with it. They were saying they were the spokesmen for the new millennium coming up, because the Roman numerals for 2000 are M&M. Some of them were having fun with that. But we're always fascinated with the end times of when things are going to happen. I think what happens is people get a hold of scriptures like we read this morning out of Luke's gospel. And there's also corresponding material in Mark and Matthew as well. But then they look at these things and they look at books such as the book of Daniel, or particularly the book of Revelation. And they start to pull out numbers. They start to pull out the symbols. They start to pull out some of the signs. They pull out names. They pull out dates. And it's all kind of jumbled together, but they try to make sense out of that, and sure enough, they come up with a date. The world is going to end at this time. And people start to think, is it true? Does it really make sense? And it scares some people. I guess the latest thing that has kicked all this up was last year, if you remember, with the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar ended and said that a new age would begin. And I think that date was sometime in December last year of 2012. But that date came and gone. And we're still here. We're still here. People get really worked up. And for the most part, it's harmless. I mean, the dates come, they go. The people who set their sights on these dates are discredited. And we move on. But for some groups, it gets very dangerous. It can be very tragic. And I know you remember about some of these. For instance, David Koresh and the Branch Davidians a number of years ago in Waco, of how that ended. The government was concerned about maybe some sex abuse that was going on within their compound, or with the weapons that they were collecting within their compound, and they were very secretive within there, and it ended up in disaster. That this group, again, they were looking at the end times, that the world was going to end. And for them, it ended up then being a self-fulfilling prophecy. For them, the world did end. Or another group, just a few years ago when the Halley-Bopp comet was going across the sky, there was a group that believed that that was a spaceship or a chariot for going to heaven. And so when it was at its peak, this group of, and it was pretty well young men, I think, dressed up all in black, and they put on new tennis shoes. And why the new tennis shoes, I'm not sure. And they laid down in their bunks and they took poison, waiting for that chariot to take them to heaven. Or I'm sure many of you remember then too, Jim Jones and the Guyana incident. Of how Jim Jones took all of his followers down to Guyana and they drank that poisoned Kool-Aid. And men, women, and children died. People get so wrapped up in these end times, in these end events. And it's interesting here in our gospel lesson then too, that things really haven't changed all that much. Jesus was there at the temple, and he overheard some of the people there admiring the work and the structure of the temple, the magnificent stones that went into building those things. They were huge. They were humongous. And they were probably ornamentally carved as well then too. And then all of the artwork that went inside the temple to make it glitter, to make it glow, to make it look heavenly, to make it look beautiful and dedicated to God. And they were impressed with this massive, huge building. But Jesus says there will be a day when not one stone will be left standing on top of another. And it frightened the people to a certain extent, because the temple was the center of life. It was the center of the religion. It was where God resided. And so if this temple is destroyed, what does that do to their religion? What does that do to God? What does that do to their lives? And what kind of army is it going to take to tear this place apart? It'll take a huge army. It'll take a mad, huge army to tear it apart. Life as they know it will not take place anymore. But it's interesting in here of the question that they ask. The question is, when? When is this going to happen? Or how will we know when this is going to happen? And that keys back then to what our fascination is with the end times as well then too. Isn't that the question that people ask is when? Aren't they trying to figure out dates of when the end of the world is going to come? It's almost as if we know the date, if we know the when, then we can have some control over it. If we know when it's going to take place, then we can have some kind of measure of being able to control that event. Because that knows how much time we have to prepare for it, of actually bunkering down. Literally bunkering down. I mean, isn't that what the Branch Davidians did? They built a huge compound or used a compound. Those with the Halley-Bopp Comet had their own little compound as well. Jim Jones took his people and built their own compound in Guyana. The tendency is try to gain control by isolating your own little group and protecting yourself to try to bring in all the supplies that you can. And maybe it's food, maybe it's water, maybe it's clothing, maybe it's fuel, maybe it's even weapons that you need to take. And you bunker down, you hide, you close in. But actually, as we look at this gospel lesson here, when Jesus talks about the end times and the apocalypse, he's saying just the opposite. He's saying, he never does answer the question of when. And he says it's not, basically by not answering, or by the answer that he gives, he says, the when is not the important part of it. But rather, it's how you handle all of these things that build up to those end times. It's how you handle the situations that we live through today. Jesus says there are going to be very many tragedies. There's going to be some tough times that we have to live through. Be wars and insurrections, famines, pestilence, droughts, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes. Many different things that we have to live through before those times come. And the key here is to remain faithful. To simply put your trust in Christ. He says here that not a hair on your head will be harmed. But then at the same time, we will be put through the trials. We may be arrested for having to profess our faith in Jesus Christ. It will not be easy. But yet the important thing is not to know the when, but it's to live our life now as if the when is immediate. Or if the when or the apocalypse is going to happen tomorrow. If you knew the apocalypse was going to happen tomorrow, would you change your life today? And what Jesus is basically saying is, you shouldn't need to. You shouldn't need to. Not to prepare in that sort of way, but simply to prepare your hearts and your minds. And be ready to hear what Jesus has to say to us. So that we too can speak to others. So rather than bunkering down and taking our little group and hiding, Jesus is saying, go out there and proclaim his word. Proclaim the good news. I know as we went through the psalm today, it is about the end times. But it's saying, shout for joy. Let the mountains ring out with joy. Sound the timbrel and the harp and the horns. That Christ is returning. It's a day of gladness. A day of righteousness. And so we live today, each and every day, in a way that maybe the end times are tomorrow. But that should not change the way that we live. Because we have trust in God, and we're able to proclaim those good news. Jesus gives us the courage to go through And to continue to live our lives and not be over concerned about the end times. Because our end times are when Christ comes again or when Christ comes for us. And Jesus gives us that courage. He says, by your endurance, you will gain your souls. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.